Are you ready, Flyer fans? It's the Anthony Grant Show, presented by Bud Light. Tonight's show is brought to you by Frickers. For over 30 years, has been the home of fun, food, sports, and spirits. Bud Light, America's favorite light lager. Premier Health, proud to be the official healthcare provider for UD Athletics. Learn more at premierhealth.com/sportsmed. And by Logan AC and Heat Services, the official heating and cooling partner of the UD Flyers. Helping fans stay comfortable all season long. The Anthony Grant Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO. Now, here's the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hanskin.
And good evening, everyone, and welcome to our second edition of the Anthony Grant Show, and our first coming you your way live on Facebook. We're at on WHIO Radio's Facebook page, our Home of the Flyer Facebook page, also on the WHIO Radio Twitter account. And obviously, you can hear us on the radio, 1290 AM, 95.7 FM, and also streaming anywhere in the world at WHIO.com. Well, we're waiting for the coach to get hooked up with us as, we're kind of navigating these new technological waters, if you will. But the season is underway, and Dayton with mixed results last week, a 66-63 win over Eastern Illinois in the opener on Tuesday, followed by a 66-64 loss to SMU Saturday afternoon, a game in which Dayton lost at the buzzer. As Emmanuel Bandamel went the length of the court with 7 seconds to play to hit the game-winning runner. This came after Ibby Watson hit a dramatic three-pointer from the right corner to tie the game at 64. But Dayton drops that game, ends up being 1-1 on this young season, and has a 21-game winning streak come to a close. It was a weird feeling. Last time Dayton had lost a game had been December 20th in 2019, in the overtime loss to Colorado in a game at the United Center in Chicago. The only other loss last season came in the Maui Invitational Championship game, also in overtime, and that was to Kansas. So if you go back to the last game that Dayton lost in regulation, it would have been the first round of the 2019 NIT when they lost at Colorado. So not a lot of losses to talk about, and it certainly felt weird, which, you know what, it's been a very, very weird season already. And case in point, playing in front of a sparse crowd at the arena has a very weird vibe to it. I know those of you who have listened to the games, it sounds a little odd. Those of you who have, have had the fortune to attend the games even, it's been an odd setting for that. So we'll soldier on. And Dayton does have some basketball to play this week. Flyers having had a game with Fort Wayne tomorrow night canceled. Fort Wayne unable to play because of the COVID-19 problems in their program. And Dayton able to secure a replacement on Saturday. They were able to line things up with Northern Kentucky. So the Norse coming to the UD Arena for a game tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Northern Kentucky off to a 2-1 start. They won opening games over Ball State and Tennessee Tech, and then most recently lost a game at Chattanooga. So it'll be a good test for the Flyers here tomorrow night. And then you've got Saturday, a game on the road, a neutral site game, as it'll be at the State Farm Arena in Atlanta where the Atlanta Hawks play. And that'll be a noon game against Mississippi State. Two games this week, and then the Flyers will head into a final exam week next week. And so they won't be looking to schedule anything next week. University rules, I think, prohibited scheduling games during final exam week. And so that then after that, it would be Ole Miss on December 19th, probably hoping to schedule another game between the 19th and Christmas. And then the A-10 season begins December 30th, and that will be at home against LaSalle. So we're still going to try to get hooked up here with Coach. While we do that, we're going to take a quick timeout. This is the Anthony Grant Show here on the Home of the Flyers.
The Anthony Grant Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk. You're listening to the Anthony Grant Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO. Call now, 457-1290. Now, back to the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hanskin.
Again, welcome back to the Anthony Grant Show and our first venture into Facebook Live at the WHIO Radio Facebook page, our Home of the Flyers Facebook page, also the WHIO Radio Twitter account. It's all brought to you by Frickers, your home of fun, food, sports, and spirits. Coach is with us now, and Coach, this is new stuff for me too. So I'm right there with you,
challenging for me. Yeah. A little challenging, but I'm glad I was able to get it worked out.
Okay, well, since we last did that show last Monday, you've had, of course, a couple of games, and a win over Eastern Illinois, 66-63. The last second loss to SMU, 66-64. Two games is not really a body of work. But you take that and you take practice and things like that. What are you starting to learn about your team?
Yeah, you know, well, you hit it on the head. I think, you know, we're a work in progress, you know. And so, you know, two games in, I think we're still trying to find our groove as a team, trying to figure out exactly what we have. I think, you know, the two games that we played, you know, I think when you look at the first game, you know, we came out on the right side of the win loss column, but there were some things in that game that we looked at from a rebounding standpoint, from a ball security standpoint, and we said we would need to get better. I thought, you know, our guys gave us a better effort on the glass. There was a couple of plays there that, you know, they really hurt us where they got second shots, but I think for the most part we did better there. Where we still continued to struggle was our ball security, being able to take care of the basketball. You know, so for consecutive games, our opponents have taken double figure more shots than we have, you know, and so you know, that's an area for us that you know, as a coach, I have to figure out how to put our guys in position, you know, where they're, you know, they're playing to their strengths, and we can do a better job of taking care of the basketball. But I thought I saw some improvement in some areas that we needed to see, you know, especially on the defensive end. So yeah, two games in, you know, we've got to continue to work and challenge ourselves and accept the fact that this is different, you know, just in terms of our young guys having a shortened preparation time and trying to figure out our system and how they fit into a system and what their roles will be and how they can help our older guys maximize the opportunities that we'll all have. And same thing with our older guys, maximizing those opportunities and understanding that as seniors, they've got to lead all the way through. So, so I think it's just a lot of learning that we'll do. And, you know, some of this stuff you can on a normal year, you can get done in the preseason through practice or, you know, scrimmages and things like that. You know, this year it's happening, you know, in real time in terms of game action.
Your starting lineup of both games was Rodney Chapman, Jalen Crutcher, Ibby Watson, Jordy Chimanga, and Chase Johnson. Am I right in that against Eastern Illinois Tuesday night, was that the first time that unit has ever been on the floor together against an opponent? I don't think they ever played as a combo last year.
Yeah, there's probably a really, really good chance that you're right there. Maybe if they were, it may have been a couple of minutes, you know. And here's the thing: the other part of it is trying to get that unit together on a daily basis in practice. You know, like we've talked about, just some challenges here in a pandemic year, and then just with normal things that happen over the course of getting prepared for a season with, you know, ankles and bumps and bruises and different things that could keep guys out for extended period of time. So I think, you know, like I said, that's a part of what we're talking about in terms of trying to make these adjustments and trying to figure it out in real time in terms of game action. And, you know, every game an opponent's going to throw something different at you that maybe you haven't had a chance to really get in or work on or get proficient at. So, you know, hopefully we'll you know, be able to take advantage of these opportunities here in the non-conference to try to get some wins, but also try to learn more about our team and get better as we prepare for conference play.
Ibby Watson is, you knew he was going to be a good player this year. He was a good player last year, but he appears to have taken his game a step forward just from his ability to assert himself both ends of the floor in a lot of different ways.
Well, you know, Ibby's a fifth-year senior, you know, and that's what you expect out of your veterans, you know, to step into those roles and provide that type of leadership. And, you know, I think it's a credit to Ibby and the work that he puts in, his dedication to the game, his dedication to his teammates, but also his teammates understanding, you know, what he provides and how he helps them and how they can help him be successful. And, you know, Larry, I'm really just big on that in terms of, it's about the fit, you know. It's about guys understanding what they need, what the team needs from them, and what they need from the team. And you know, sometimes it takes a little longer to figure that out. You know, and I think you know, obviously, you look at Ibby scoring the last two games, and everybody can get excited about that. But I think his voice, you know, his leadership, the way other guys are understanding what they can provide to help him, what he provides that helps them. To me, that's when you can develop a really good team. So I get the whole thing about, you know, the individual thing, but at the end of the day, for us to become as good as we can become, and really for all the individuals to become as good as they can become, we're going to need each other, you know? And so I'm just a big proponent of talking about how you develop that chemistry and that teamwork.
You know, talking about teamwork and chemistry, obviously Jalen and Rodney had that last year as a starting backcourt, but it doesn't automatically mean that they just pick up where they left off this year, because, as you said, it's a different team. Their roles are changing slightly. You know, Jalen obviously is a marked man.
Well, the roles have changed quite a bit. You know, when you add different personnel, you know, it's a lot different. You know, some things that we're doing now, you know, will be unique to this team, you know. And so if you try to say, you know, well, hey, this was what we did last year, and you can just keep it going, that's just, you know, just not realistic, you know. So Jalen's role is different. Rodney's role is different, you know, as is, you know, the other guys, Ibby, Chase, Jordy, and all the new guys that we have that are trying to find their way in it. You know, it's just a completely different team. So I think two games in, you know, I think we know a little bit more than we knew a week ago. It's good to have some game experience under our belt. And, you know, like I said, we'll figure it out as we move forward. This game coming up tomorrow, you know, we'll pose a different challenge than any of the other two that we face based on, you know, their plan of attack and the way they play. So, so it'll be, you know, another thing that we'll have to kind of learn on the fly. Haven't had a whole lot of time with a short turnaround to prepare for it. So every game will bring a little something different for each player involved.
All right, this is the Anthony Grant Show, brought to you by Frickers, your home of fun, food, sports, and spirits, and on Facebook Live tonight, also on your radio, and you can interact with us on Facebook Live. We got Cameron out watching in Scottsdale, Arizona, and then also you can give us a call at 457-1290. Let's see, got a stretch over here, and we got Jeff in Springboro. Jeff, you're on the Anthony Grant Show. You got a question for Coach?
Yeah, but first I wanted to tell Coach, I've been attending UD games for 70 years. Enjoyed watching you play, not 70 years ago, but enjoyed watching you play. And I love the classy way you and your young men are representing the university and the city.
Thank you.
I do have one question.
Yes, sir.
What was the thinking behind not pressuring SMU in the last 7 seconds as they brought the ball up court?
Yeah, that was kind of a bang-bang situation, obviously. You know, I think we ended up, you know, getting a three to tie the game. And you look up and it's 7 seconds to go. And, you know, their primary ball handler, number three in the game, our guys, I thought, did a really good job of denying him. We put two guys on him not to let him have a head of steam up the floor. They threw it to their secondary guy. And, you know, obviously those are what I call special situations that you try to work on. In practice, you try to create those opportunities in practice. And as we alluded to earlier, in a pandemic year, you don't necessarily get a chance to go through all those scenarios as much as you will. So some things you got to learn through film. Going back and watching it on film, I thought our guys did a pretty good job. You know, we didn't let them roll the ball up, didn't let them advance it. We tried to contain it. You know, when you got a guy coming at you full speed with a tie game, a lot's probably going through players' minds. And again, we can all sit back, you know, and relive it. But when you're in real time going through that situation, you're probably saying, I don't want to foul. I got to make sure I try to stay in front and make it as difficult a shot as possible. So I think when you go back, if you have a chance to look at it, I've had a chance to look at it several times. We had two guys contested, and the guy made a heck of a play. So give him credit. And unfortunately for us, we came out on the losing end of that heck of a play.
Well, thank you, Coach, and thanks for everything you do. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Yeah, Coach, you have to go back and review those and look at them. I was going to, and I just said, nah, I don't want to watch that again. I don't want to watch that again. I was seeing it in my sleep Saturday night, so I decided I'm just going to put that one on hold for a while, not deal with it. We got a lot to talk about, obviously. And even though it's just two games, because there's just so much newness to this, and then there's so much of a surreal. It just does not seem real yet. Has that been a struggle for you, your staff, your players, everybody to just try to get a feel of normalcy on game day?
I think the thing with players, man, guys want to play, so I think obviously we've had a lot of different, things come at us from the pandemic, and then not having fans, and then having games canceled, and having to schedule games at the last minute. So I think our guys are just excited to be able to play. Obviously it's very different, when you walk in UD Arena and you don't have your fan base, and, so much of it is different, but, in between the lines, I think the guys are enjoying having a chance to compete, enjoying playing with each other, and obviously, the circumstances being what they are, I think, perspective is something I try to always keep. In Montgomery County right now, we're purple. There are a lot of people that, are going through some difficult times with this virus, whether it be how it's impacted them health-wise or just job, family, so for us to have a chance to get out there and play a sport, I'm grateful, and so I'm not going to be one to complain about, what we don't have. I'm just grateful that we get a chance to do, what we're able to do right now.
A lot of the guys have mentioned that, with just a sparse handful of fans in the stands, they're able to hear their parents yelling at them in the game. You are now in the role of every CYO coach that's out there, and that you're trying to coach guys, and they got their parents yelling at them as well.
Yeah, it's funny. People ask me about, crowd noise and all that stuff. I guess it's good, because when there's 13,000 plus in there screaming and yelling, I really can't hear them. And so now that there's about 13 in there, I still can't hear them. So I'm just locked in on what we got to do in between the lines.
I got to give your guys a big pat on the back for something I saw on Saturday, and that was your bench in that second half. I mean, there's no band, there's no cheerleaders, there's not a lot of people in the seats, and your bench was making noise. They were yeah, cheering. They were clapping. They were shouting defense, defense. And I thought it was great to look down there and see them so engaged.
That's awesome. That's great to hear that. And that's the thing we talk about. We have to be able to create our own energy, in this year, because of the lack of fans in the building, it'll be really important the rest of the way that all our guys stay engaged and support each other and let their voices be heard. We're going to need that throughout.
That term engaged, the one difference I saw between Eastern Illinois and SMU is I thought at the defensive end especially, I thought guys looked more connected and more engaged than they did in the opener.
Yeah, what happens early in the year is, at least, I think me as a coach, I think we put so much emphasis on the importance of scouting and trying to give our guys an understanding of what their opponent is going to try to do on both sides of the ball. And when you play your first game of the year, a lot of times you really don't have a lot of film, a lot of familiarity with your opponent. And, especially when you're dealing with, like we are this year, half our team being new, them understanding scouting and the importance of the details. So I think what we'll see with this group is as we go through, you know, different opponents, our guys, and especially our young guys, we've got a veteran group that kind of knows the routine, so to speak, even though they're in different roles. They're learning, right? So we talk about what we need to do before the game, and then we'll go and we'll look at how we did after the game. And hopefully what you see is every game you're getting a little bit better, you know, at doing your assignments and doing your job at a high level. So, so hopefully we'll continue to see that improvement on both sides.
All right. This is the Anthony Grant Show, brought to you by Frickers, your home of fun, food, sports, and spirits, on the radio, on Facebook Live, on Twitter. And we'll continue as we've got news coming up at the bottom of the hour. This is the Anthony Grant Show on the home of the Flyers.
The Anthony Grant Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk. You're listening to The Anthony Grant Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO. Call now, 457-1290. Now back to the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hanskin.
And welcome back to The Anthony Grant Show, show two of this young Flyer basketball season, with you on the radio. Also, WHIO Radio Facebook page. We're live there. Also, the Home of the Flyers Facebook page, and also on our WHIO Twitter account. Dayton is 1-1, a win over Eastern Illinois, and then a loss on Saturday to SMU. Flyers two games this week. Tomorrow night, Northern Kentucky, and then Mississippi State, a game that will be played in Atlanta, Georgia, on Saturday at noon. We'll talk more about that coming up. But you're invited to take part in the program at 457-1290. Comments coming in on Facebook, and Todd had a question, Coach, in regards to Elijah Weaver, is he going to be eligible to get a waiver perhaps in January?
Yeah, I get that question a lot. We're in the process. The NCAA just came out with something. I think the NABC may have proposed something where all transfers could become eligible because of the COVID, pandemic, and what's happening across the country to different teams that are having guys have to sit out for multiple weeks because of either contact tracing or the virus. So I think we'll know where in a couple of weeks whether or not that's allowed. I think there's a vote coming up here soon, so hopefully we'll know something, and then based on that, it could determine what his eligibility possibilities could be. But as of today, right now we don't really have any answers other than he's not able to play at this point.
All right. Obviously, bench play is going to be critical to this team moving forward. And how difficult is it to, you didn't have a full preseason. You didn't have a chance to even do much live scrimmaging, and you didn't get a chance to have an exhibition game or even the normal number of non-conference games that typically you have to get guys' feet wet. How difficult is it going to be for some of these young guys to learn to play college basketball?
Yeah, I think that it's going to be a process, and like I said, other than anything that just real, we've had several weeks where we were really limited in terms of the number of bodies available. So maybe 4 or 5 days, maybe a week before we played our first game against Eastern Illinois was the first time that we actually did any real scrimmaging in terms of like a game type atmosphere. So So I think for the young guys, just getting familiar with our terminology, okay, getting familiar with their roles, different combinations that they're asked to play with, but it's a group that's working really hard. I think they see a need, in terms of and an opportunity. So when they're ready, they're ready. I was a freshman before, and I know how difficult that can be, we're going to keep, working them, keep challenging them, and keep trying to put them in position where they can do the things that they're capable of doing.
457-1290 is how you can join us on the phone here on the Anthony Grant Show. And got Daryl with us. And Daryl, you're on the Anthony Grant Show. Do you have a question for Coach?
I sure do, Coach.
Hey, Daryl.
Been a long time Flyer fan since, since the early 60s. And one of the things that Flyer fans look at when they follow the team is the what comes on with these underclassmen, looking at a lot of these freshmen, how they've developed or not. So I just wanted to see what your thoughts were.
Yeah, it's kind of what we just talked about a little bit, you know, and I think, again, everything right now is kind of, you know, pandemic year. You know, this is new for all of us. It's brand new for this group. You know, you got to look at the fact that these guys, you know, coming into college for the first time, trying to experience college basketball, did not get a summer of weightlifting and conditioning and being becoming familiar with the system, getting acclimated academically. And then there's been, you know, a few situations because of the pandemic where we've been not together, you know, for several weeks at a time, you know, so to take away that, you know, months of development, you know, I know, listen, you want it, you know, last week, I loved to have had it 3-4 weeks ago, but it is what it is. And I think that's the thing that we're all going to have to understand is, you know, some things that we're dealing with are completely under our control. You know, I'm grateful every other day that we test and, you know, we remain COVID free and we can continue moving forward. And I'm hopeful that all the other teams across the country remain COVID free and obviously selfishly to play games, but, you know, just for the health and well-being of you know, everybody that's involved in what we're doing. You know, Shauna Green, I think, is just recovering, you know, from COVID. And I think she went through quite a battle, you know, and so several people within the athletic department have had it, you know. And so, like, I get it, like, we're focused on trying to get the results we want, and everybody wants it to be like it was before. You know, so as a coach, I've got to also understand, you know, I'm asking these freshmen to do something that no other freshman class in history has ever had to go through, you know, so I'm going to be patient. And, I think they have a good perspective and, you know, hopefully, as a fan base and as, Flyer Nation, we can keep a good perspective on exactly what it is that we're endeavoring to do in this unprecedented time.
Thanks, Daryl, for the call, and appreciate you joining us. This is the Anthony Grant Show, brought to you by Frickers, your home of fun food, sports, and spirits. And it'll be a great time to give Frickers a call right now and have some wings delivered to you. Get them there maybe even before the show is over. We're talking about the freshman, and one of your freshmen, redshirt freshman, Musa Suko, had the, you know, he's got the terminology familiarity. Is it now a question of him just getting used to game speed? Because I thought, from my vantage point, he looked a little bit more comfortable Saturday than certainly he did on Tuesday.
Yeah, I think you know, that game experience, there's no substitute for it. And I thought Mood did some really good things for us out there. And, you know, as a freshman, again, he's learning. So I think you know, having a chance to get some feedback on what he did well, what he needs to get better in the game, I think will certainly help him. But yeah, he's going to be fine, you know, and I think obviously, you know, one of the questions I think it was brought up last week was how, you know, has he benefited from that year? You know, and I said, you know, we'll know at the end of the year, right? We'll know when it's all said and done, you know, just in terms of the way he progresses. So the next step for him is to continue to put himself in position where he can be on the floor and get that game experience and understand what's going to be required.
He and Jordy have a potential to give you a very physical presence in the middle, as physical a tandem as perhaps there is in this league, certainly.
Well, you know, this league is going to, you know, I think if you've been paying attention to A-10 basketball, you know, the league is off to a really good start. You know, I think we've had some great wins here in the non-conference as a league. And, you know, you look across the board at you know, the teams that have played up to this point. And, you know, it's a lot of formidable teams that really helped themselves through their recruiting and the efforts they've made. So certainly we're going to need, you know, those guys, and we're going to need, you know, all of our guys, you know, as we play this non-conference in preparation for what we'll do once we start conference play.
Speaking of which, Richmond with a win tonight to go to 3-0, they were able to beat a good Wofford team. So they get a good another good positive win. It's good for Richmond, good for the conference, and it's going to be a heck of a ride here moving forward. But first things first, and that is going to be this non-conference schedule, which includes Northern Kentucky tomorrow night and then Mississippi State neutral site Saturday. We will talk to the coach about that, plus more as we continue. It's the Anthony Grant Show, and we are live on Facebook, on Twitter, and right here on the home of the Flyers.
The Anthony Grant Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk. You're listening to the Anthony Grant Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO. Call now, 457-1290. Now back to the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hanskin.
And welcome back to the Anthony Grant Show, our first show on Facebook Live tonight on the WHIO Radio Facebook page, also home of the Flyers. And it's all brought to you by Frickers, your home of fun, food, sports, and spirits in a normal year. Well, that's where we'd be tonight, and nothing's normal about 2020, and be anxious to turn the calendar to 2021, certainly, and put this behind us. But, you know, there's a lot of basketball to be played between now and then. And let's start with tomorrow night. You've got Northern Kentucky coming to the arena, Coach, to play instead of a Fort Wayne team, which had been previously scheduled. And second time you've had to scramble to find an opponent. And did you get at least a little bit more leeway this time as far as finding out that you were going to play in Northern Kentucky and able to prepare just that much sooner?
Well, they're coming fast and furious. I really don't have a timetable on it. I'm very grateful that you know, our coaches, Neil, was able to get us another opponent. Obviously, we found out before we played SMU that Fort Wayne would not be available to play the game. So and I think what's happening across the country, Larry, is you're seeing a lot of teams are in the same situation. You know, we're on a daily basis, either, you know, somebody's testing positive or somebody's being contact traced, which is, you know, either causing a cancellation or a pause of certain competition. So I think what our guys are doing is just kind of keeping almost a running tab on, you know, what the status of certain things are. And you really go day by day just based on what happened. So, you know, there's a, you know, as you mentioned, this is unique. And, you know, so we try to go with the flow as much as we can. You know, Northern Kentucky was available. And certainly, you know, I know Coach Horn and I know he's done a great job there last year. I think they won their league and would have been in the NCAA tournament. So, you know, they got a team that I think brings some guys back from that group and has added some really, really good pieces. So it'll be another great test for us here early in the year.
Yeah, I think there's 33 teams right now that are currently just on hold because of COVID. And that doesn't even count some of the ones that, you know, Bethune-Cookman, for example, the Ivy League schools that just said, that's it. We're not even going to play this year. So it really, I mean, I think that, you know, as fans and even, you know, even media, we get kind of focused on our own little world, that own little piece of the world. And you got to sometimes take a step back and you realize, wow, this is just a topsy-turvy situation that, you know, it's not just – you know, not just Dayton taking care of its business and doing the right things, but you got to hope that everyone you play does the right thing and that everyone they play does the right thing and so forth and so forth and so forth.
No question. And sometimes it's on the back end after you play as well. So I think if you look at, you know, college football right now, you're seeing it happen before. And then also sometimes after you've competed, you find out, okay, hey, there was a situation that, you know, We have to go back and look at, you know, are we in a contact tracing situation? It's college football, it's NFL, it's, you know, I think someone mentioned the NBA training camp opened up or was supposed to open up this past week. And I think maybe, you know, I don't know, it's over 10% positive players that should be at camp right now. So, it's just something that we're all dealing with. I saw a story. I haven't had a chance to fully look at it, but I think there was Carl Anthony Towns from the Timberwolves may have lost 7 family members to the coronavirus, where you know, his mom passed away, unfortunately, and then 6 other family members. So this is just it's unprecedented times, man. So, for us to be able to have a chance to go out there and compete and keep our guys healthy and our staff and everybody safe, we're fortunate, very, very fortunate. And I think a lot of credit goes to our medical staff and to our players and our staff, everybody, for trying to adhere as much as we possibly can to everything that we know to do. And I implore all of our fans to do the same thing. We want you guys to remain safe. We want everybody to be healthy. And as you said earlier, this too shall pass, right? So we want to get out on the other side of this and continue to provide, with our games, even though the fans aren't there, hopefully they're listening. They're watching on TV. And, I know our guys have talked about, we continue to play for our fan base. We love our fan base. We miss them. But we know that this period of time that we're in right now will pass, and look forward to having everybody back and healthy.
Well, like you say, you know, it's about putting things in perspective. And I know that that's something that you're big on in the program, and it's something that you continue to do with your guys. And I see a guy that maybe has things in pretty good perspective right now. And that's Chase Johnson. 2 games does not a season make, but I see a guy out there who is really happy to be playing college basketball, really happy to be with his teammates, and is playing pretty good.
Yeah. You know, like I said, we talked about this last week. I'm really happy to have Chase back, and I'm happy for Chase. You know, and obviously, as you're seeing, you know, he's a very talented young man. And I think with every game, it's getting more comfortable and more confident in terms of what he provides and what the team needs from him and how to fit in with his teammates. You know, he experienced some of it last year in a much more limited role, you know. So I think now he sees, what's needed, and he sees the opportunity that's there. So, you know, hopefully, like all of our guys, with every game, he'll learn more and continue to get better and continue to provide that spark that he has so far in the first 2 games.
Yeah, I thought he improved during the game against SMU, and at the defensive end, that he got schooled pretty good by Shagwa a couple of times. He adapted, you know, he learned and was able to D him up much better there in the second half.
Yeah, you know, well, I mean, SMU's got a talented team. You know, and we certainly knew there'd be some challenges there, but I thought for the most part, we did a pretty good job of understanding from a scouting standpoint what we needed to do. Now, I think as we go through this, you know, I'm as a coach, I'm always, I look at it from a critical eye. I think there are a lot of things that we can learn and that we need to be better. And I think we're more than capable of being better at on both sides, you know. So yeah, but I thought Chase did a good job, and I think going back and looking at the film, hopefully he, like the rest of our team, learned some areas that we can get better at.
We mentioned Northern Kentucky, of course, tomorrow night, but then you've got the game against Mississippi State in Atlanta on Saturday. It's a quadruple or five. I don't know. There's a lot of games that day as this holiday Hoopsgiving was going to be a big showcase. And you know, now here again, it's going to be, you know, limited fans there in a very, very large arena. But it is an opportunity for your team to go up against an SEC opponent. And how important are those types of games as far as both a measuring stick and a chance to build your resume?
Yeah, you know, I think obviously, you know, we scheduled that game, you know, quite a while ago with that in mind, obviously. You know, having a chance to from a resume standpoint, put that together. And in this this environment, Larry, I don't know that, you know, it's hard to say what a resume will be, you know, in terms of, and it's hard to really look that far forward to say, I know what's gonna happen 3 or 4 days from now. I'm focused on trying to see if we can't go out and get a win tomorrow, and then stay negative with each test that comes in between now and then. But certainly, when you look at Mississippi State, you know, they've done a really good job with their program, and obviously being a Power Five team, the opportunity to play them on a neutral floor, I know our guys are excited about it, and you know, we've played each other, I think, two of the last 3 years,
yeah,
that we've gone against them. So I know they got a lot of new pieces. Haven't seen any film on them yet. But certainly I know Coach Holland does a great job with his group. So, you know, as when that time comes, I know we'll be as prepared as we can be.
All right. That's going to be a noon game on Saturday in Atlanta, State Farm Arena. And then tomorrow night, a 7 o'clock tip against Northern Kentucky. You know, Coach, one of the things I ask you periodically throughout the course of any season is just, you know, every day you have a chance of taking a step back, staying the same, or getting better. To the Dayton Flyers, after two games last week and a practice today, are you getting better?
Yeah. Well, I take one of those out. I think you either get better or you get worse. I don't think you stay the same. yeah, I think so. I think our guys mentally have the right approach. You know, obviously, there was a sting losing that game the other day that I think, you know, and I think a realization that there were a lot of things that we could have done that could have prevented that. It should not have come down to that last possession the way it did. So, yeah, so I think, you know, every game will present a different challenge, but I think our guys are excited. I think they're learning. I think we're growing, learning each other, learning what we have to do with this team this year to become the best version of ourselves. And I know I'm learning, you know what we need to do with this group to put them in position to try to be as successful as possible. And we're going to continue to try to do that. I think we'll know a little bit more after tomorrow, you know, and I can't say what the result will be, but I think we'll know a little bit more about our group, and hopefully, you know, we'll continue to do that as we progress throughout the season.
All right, that's going to wrap things up here tonight. So again, Dayton in action tomorrow night against Northern Kentucky. That is a 7 o'clock tip. Pre-game coverage begins at 6:30. Flyer feedback to follow Saturday, a noon tip in Atlanta against Mississippi State. And again, pre-game coverage starts at 11:30. Flyer feedback will follow, and then the coach and I will be back here next Monday, Facebook Live and on your radio for another edition of the Anthony Grant Show. Then brought to you by Frickers, your home of fun food, sports, and spirits. Have a great week, everyone, and go Flyers.
Go Flyers.
WHIO Dayton, WHIO FM Pleasant Hill, a Cox Media Group station. Powered by Back to Business IT. Take care of your business. We'll take care of your IT.